Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back into hour three here, and looking to connect with Andy, who has been up here on short notice and has to head back later today, back downstate. Andy Serling joins us from the New York Racing Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent, and good news on the mom front, eh?
Yeah, mom's good. She's home.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. All right. I grappled earlier this morning saying I wasn't sure if you were going to join us and what the circumstance was, but it felt like there was all really a positive, frankly, when
yeah.
considering, you know.
Mom's a good example of why you go to doctors if you're feeling lousy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Their hurts dropping something. Down the street for no reason.
That's exactly right. We wish her a quick recovery, and
thanks.
You're a dutiful son.
Well, she's mom's great. Anyway, what's going on?
Couple of things. You just are on the heels of a Pat Cummings visit, and of course,
wow.
Tough act to follow, right?
I tell you, I hope I can live up to what Pat delivered.
Well, I did actually reference you because. He was talking about...
No, he was just on.
He was just on, seconds ago. And, you know, the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, they had actually written a thing about changing the Category 2 to Category 1, you know, the framework of rules. But I referenced, you know, what you wrote the other day, your comment about... because Pat... sort of referenced it too, stewards being more out front and being more
proactive.
Accessible.
Proactive.
Yes.
That's
yes.
But proactive. Listen, I think it's an industry-wide problem as far as, you know, being proactive. I mean, this is, you know, we've been reactive instead of proactive pretty much as an industry for many, many years, and it's to our, it's hurt us a great deal over time, and, you know, you want to try to be proactive and get in front of things. And, but, I mean, what's done is done, and I think everything you look at, you want to think about moving forward. And, yeah, I mean, if I, you know, listen, every horse player understands the frustrations of disqualifications. We all have better memories about when we came down than when we got put up. Every one of us feels, whether true or false, that we've been taken down from more than we've been put up. And there's probably an argument that the smarter you are, it's like sort of like the argument that the better handicapper you are, the more likely you are to suffer frustrating losses due to bad trips. Because if you are betting more, a higher percentage of horses that are going to run well, you rate to be negatively affected by the vagaries of racing more often than somebody who's picking horses that are running poorly. I mean, that's just sort of the nature of the beast. And I think, obviously, if you're doing a better job of handicapping, maybe you rate to be a victim of disqualifications more than not. Having said that, they're incredibly frustrating. We've all been through it. Listen, I stopped playing Florida for a long time at one point because of a couple of preposterous DQs over the years. And I think, as a horse player, I've seen some of the most ridiculous disqualifications I'd ever seen down in Florida, more than anything else. But in general, they're a very, very small part of the game. They happen extremely infrequently. And the amount of times that we're involved, contrary to what you believe if you read Twitter, is negligible. Because don't forget, if there's an inquiry, it has to involve the horses that you bet on. And I'm not trying to mitigate them, but you know, to act as though they're the overriding problem in the game is a little bit overkill. And while I am absolutely for a uniform set of rules and to see them followed, and you know, the obviously people do want consistency, but I think it's a word that's overused. I think there is more consistency, at least in New York. And listen, there's sometimes I disagree with the stewards, but I'll say I disagree with them consistently. And at least they have a different philosophy than me. So you see an inquiry and say, well, I might take this horse down, but they won't, you know? So I don't really have a big problem with that, as long as it's a, I may disagree with them philosophically. But having said that, I feel as though we should focus more on dealing with races as they occur that don't involve fouls at all, but just to know that the stewards are watching. And I think it would benefit everybody in racing, whether it's riders, trainers, owners, bettors, everybody involved, if frequently the stewards called a trainer and they said, you know, we were looking over this race and your horse had extreme speed and it seemed as though the rider didn't want to use his speed today and rated him. Were those your instructions? Had you intended to do that? And not go to the rider, go to the trainer and ask him, what, you know, were you surprised? And then if the trainer says, actually, we were using a change of tactics, okay, fine. You know, but maybe the trainer says, no, I actually told the guy to go to the lead, and he did, because I've had this conversation with trainers before. And then maybe they are supposed to ask the jockey. And listen, you want to watch the races, because sometimes a horse, you know, gets bumped coming out of the gate or something happens. But as we know, and I think that if that was done more often, it would do a number of things. It would obviously let everybody know they're watching, which can't be a bad thing. And I think if that was something that was reported on, I think horse players in general and everybody else involved would feel better, because they'd feel like, you know, I'm not the only one that asks these questions, because we can ask all the questions we want. If the powers that be aren't doing something about it, it doesn't really matter. We're just frustrated. And we are frustrated. I think there's a reasonable, I certainly New York is where my focus is, but I don't think that's the only place. And I think that everybody involved in the game, and I know this is something they do in Hong Kong, and Pat can certainly talk about it much better than I can, but, you know, instructions before the race of how they're going to ride. And I think this is something that's gotten more and more frustrating for horse players. And I think if the stewards were more involved, and certainly they can do it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I think it would be good if the stewards handicapped, looked at the races, just had an idea, you know, before the race. They said, okay, I'm looking at this race, I looked at it, and, you know, here's, so when, you know, the 1 and 3 are two need-to-lead type, speed-type horses, and the 4 wires the field to slow pace, they can ask the trainers, the 1 and 3, were you surprised? What did you intend to do? It can't be a bad thing to be doing that. It has to be a good thing, and I think the stewards would find it more interesting, frankly. If I was a steward, I'd be sitting around doing nothing some of the time, and not to suggest they don't do anything, and I'm not trying to minimize their jobs, but I think they would want to be more engaged. And I just think it's something, that's the kind of stuff I think that we should be focusing on, more than, you know, constantly harping on disqualifications, which are just don't happen. I mean, this stuff happens all the time, right? Races are run all the time. The amount of and the other thing is, obviously, I would like to see more attention paid to the overall picture of the race and not just some bumping incident in the stretch, right?
I say that all the time. Well, we've discussed, you and I have discussed that, and you've made that point clear, that it is remarkable, and when, especially when you hear the occasional comment come from a steward, you know, a stewardesque stance that says, well, it happened so early in the race, it didn't, couldn't have possibly affect the outcome. What are you talking about?
Right, because like in an NBA game that's decided in overtime, a turnover in the first quarter really didn't matter. Right?
Exactly.
Guy threw the ball away and bounding it, and then the other team grabbed it and threw a layup in. That game would have gone into overtime anyway, right? Because possessions in football, only the fourth quarter matters, right? Scoring in the first quarter is irrelevant. Doesn't really count. Those runs in baseball, they score in the first inning. They don't count when you get to the ninth inning. Nonsense. Everything matters. And listen, what's funny is that in races, nothing matters more than the start. And yet, we in racing allow all sorts of shenanigans to go on at the start.
Yep.
And everything gets exaggerated at the start. But these are, you know, but these are all bigger discussions. But I feel as though, and I'm not, listen, I understand the frustration of disqualifications as well as anybody. You know, no, I've never been disqualified out of a pick six for 100,000. So that guy's got one on me, thankfully for me. Having said that, I think that if you're going to talk about trying to revamp the whole steward, the way we handle sort of infractions in racing, I think we should be discussing the entire situation, not just trying to get one thing done. It's sort of like focusing on Lasix. and how you do that at the exception on focusing on things that may be more important, or a lot of us feel may be more important. You know, you obfuscate the real issue by focusing on one fraction or one small part. And I think we should look at things broader. And the answer is, well, we're just trying to fix one thing at a time. Well, I don't know. I don't know that you can fix the disqualification thing. It's still going to come down to three guys in a room making a decision on what they think is the answer.
And I made that point as well a little bit to Pat. You know,
for
even,
better or worse.
Yes. You know. Well, and the other part is that those people in the room are invariably still going to be sourced from the same pool we use now, which is government officials and jockeys and other kinds of horsemen that go into the field, that become accredited racing officials.
Yeah, I think, right, you know, I lost my train of thought, but there's a whole... What I want to also say is I really think that people would do everybody and themselves particularly a service, and I know you agree with me on this, to get away from this crap about the disqualification at Churchill was because they were trying to create a carryover for the next day, or that the stewards, and your point of that, yeah, the racing, so the track officials call the stewards and said, you know, if you leave this one up or you take this, stop. It's just so stupid. It's not, and it's also, you're really accusing people of some pretty severe acts of dishonesty. And I just, first of all, I know the stewards in New York. I may disagree with them on other things. They're not dishonest. They're not, the idea that these guys, I may disagree with them on a million different things. I may argue with them about a million different things. But one thing I never has even crossed my mind, first of all, one thing has never crossed my mind, they made a decision based on a carryover. There's a much better chance they don't know there's a carryover. They're not even people just need to get away from this stuff. It's just not true. And it's the very nicest way to put it. It's incredibly insulting. You're basically accusing these people of being disgustingly dishonest.
Yep, I said this yesterday.
You're saying they should be in jail. I mean, that's not. And I can understand why stewards don't want to listen to people that say those things. To be honest with you. You know, reasonable solutions come from reasonable conversations, not from unreasonable accusations.
Agreed. And I hope that people, you know, find this...
They won't. They may or may not listen. I don't really... You know, that's up to them. But I just think, you know, focus on what matters. Focus on ways. And, you know, and that's a reason a guy like Pat is a good person, because he is a very even-handed guy. You know, he's not somebody that gets rash about some sort of thing he hears, and he is a very reasonable person and a very smart person. But so you have to have these discussions in a reasonable way, and you have to get off the grassy knoll and stop thinking every race is fixed and all the stewards are in on it. Give me a break. I mean, who is that person, the track management, that would call them? So insane.
Exactly. Anyway. Well, he's the director of Machination.
Director of Fleas.
Let's
he's
get nice some.
Mr. Beast.
Exactly. a couple of notes on racing this weekend, and I did get a couple of conversations in already with connections, but you were on hand for everything. We had Brad Cox yesterday, Plainsman. Obviously, it's got some upside going forward as a handicap horse, it seems, coming out of the Discovery.
Yeah, I like Plainsman. I'll be honest, his Discovery was okay. I think the Discovery is an interesting race for, you know, listen, that handicap division next year is about as wide open at this point as you could possibly get. I like to make the joke that Audible is the great hope going forward, so everybody load up your guns, you know. And maybe Audible will be the best horse next year, but let's be honest. Has he run a triple-digit buyer yet? I don't think so. Listen, maybe he'll be fabulous. I hope he is. More fabulous horses, the merrier. But, and Plainsman's on the cusp of putting himself on the list. I was more impressed by his race before that than I was in Discovery. I will say Discovery, he was sort of eased up late, and, you know, maybe he could have gone a 50 a second faster. I don't know, but probably not, but whatever. He's a nice horse. I was going to say he's going to have to step against the big boys. I don't know who the big boys are right now. Do you?
That's a great point.
Clark certainly wasn't the big. If the Clark is the big boys, I don't know that he's probably in line with the Brad Cox horse who won the Clark. That was actually a little bit faster, to be honest, right?
Leah Frick, yeah. Yeah.
He's a little faster.
He's triple digit. He's a triple digit
horse.
But
I think that Plainsman's a horse that they've used speed because of circumstance, and he may be okay in better rating. You know, I think one of the things that made his race two back so good was that he got involved in an aggressive pace scenario, and he still was able to win with a reasonable buyer. You know, I like Plainsman. You know, we'll see. This handicap division is such a joke at this point, the older horse division going into 2019, that, you know, somebody wants to tell me they've got a horse, I'm willing to listen, right?
I'm going to ask you about a non-stake before we get to the Long Island and the Calmley and the Turf Sprint. It seems to me that Bobby Barbera has got a going forward as a five-year-old, that Tommy T is a nice horse, and he's going to be a stake sprinter.
He is, but I'll say a couple things about that race, and I'm glad you brought that race up, because I think there's a horse in that race that we should be discussing, and it's not Tommy T. And I'm a fan of Tommy T, and listen, as I said, you know, before the race, and I've said a million times, we had that group of maidens and non-winners of one, and people like to beat up on horses like Switzerland and Pattern Recognition and some of these horses that kept losing in maiden and non-winners of one races in these repeatedly fast mid-90s to high 90 buyer races. And some of us kept saying, and I know Paul Matisse was on it with Switzerland too, don't give up on this horse. He's just been very unlucky. He's not a hanging bum. And we talked about Switzerland, and lo and behold, Switzerland won a couple of Grand Stakes and all these things, and Pattern Recognition won the Kelso and a handful of races as well. That was a crazy group. And Tommy T's almost the last survivor of that group, right? He's maybe the last one to get to the non-winners of one. The problem with Tommy T seems to be keeping him on the racetrack. He's just got so many gaps. But I do not disagree that if Bobby can keep him sound, and it's not, you know, there's no criticism of Bobby, and Bobby's a friend of mine, and I think he's a good trainer. It's been hard to obviously keep this horse on the racetrack, and I imagine he would tell you the same thing. But he is a horse that I agree that he could definitely be a factor in these six long stakes. But I think the horse that you want to pay clear attention to out of that race is Identity Politics.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, that was not a fast pace at all. That race got a 96 buyer. I mean, he was flying at the end. I mean, literally gobbling up ground, like really running. And this is a horse that could run the Malibu. And I'm not saying he's going to win the Malibu, but I'm not sure off that race that he's not a player in it. I mean, obviously it depends who goes to the Malibu. You know, would a Frenzy Fire be going? Would a Promises Fulfilled be going? I don't know. You know, obviously it was like Nero who won recently. You know, I talked a bit to a Jay Privman who, you know, he brought up some of these names. It's hard to know who goes to a race like that at this point. You know, it's your guess good as mine. But I would say Identity Politics is a horse coming out of that race. I mean, he's only run four times, and he's only run twice in the dirt. This was a very good effort by him.
Yeah, I know. You're absolutely right.
And Tom, I'm not knocking Tommy T, because I think Tommy T is very good as well. I think you're absolutely right. The problem with Tommy T is keeping him on the racetrack. He's just got so many gaps between his races.
Well, and you also bring up the point, this was three quarters, and Identity Politics may want 7/8 more.
Maybe. You know, I don't know. You know, you never know with closing sprinters and how they are and whatever. But I think that was an interesting race, because that came up a very fast race, and given the dynamics of the race, Identity Politics, I mean, he's okay.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. And I'm just noticing, I guess I don't know why Richie Vega chose to run Bluegrass Express against Open Company here.
They have no choice. I mean, he's got to try.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess.
Out of his New York red conditions. I mean, that's where he belongs. I mean, wasn't a huge price in there, was he?
No, he was. Well, he was 18-1. He ended up 18-1. And he was an okay fourth in here, but I'll ask Tony.
Okay. He's been in great form, that horse.
He's a fun horse. The filly did. I'll talk about it with Tony on Thursday. But unfortunately, the filly did not run well, Collegeville Girl, the other day.
No, I felt bad. I know, but you look at her and you wonder if she just had lingering effects from the experience in Saratoga.
No, he thought. Tony thought she was okay
on the racetrack.
Yeah, I know. We'll find out. We'll get it. A couple of notes. What a terrific Lady Panam and Tricky Escape. Lynn Ashby has been what's gone on with Tricky Escape. What a terrific race that was.
Yeah, and she's the one who went after the speed in there, the German horse, who was in front, who actually ran pretty well as well, and she finished fourth. But Lady Panam got a great trip and ride. I mean, Irad really. Irad had a sensational year. Is Irad considered one of the main contenders for the Eclipse Award?
I would think so.
I thought he was great this year, and I like to beat up a little on Irad sometimes. I like him personally a lot, but I thought he had a terrific year overall.
Well, this looks like a nice filly going forward.
Yeah,
this Lady Panam. She's okay.
All going in. I'm not. The race didn't come up that fast. I guess it's hard to really judge races on that course.
Yeah, with this
time.
Turf.
So you're running an odd distance. How do you really judge it? She ran. She was fine. I mean, listen, I was surprised. I didn't like her at all. I was shocked she was 7-2, and surprised she won. The Tricky Escape did run well again. She's had a great year. You're right. She's terrific.
A couple of other quick hits. Blamed, obviously, in the Comley, but
kind of the runner up.
I talked
she's
to.
Got a
yep.
Break. Blamed yep. All the work. No, blames are blames. What, she 6-for-8 with 2 seconds? She's okay. Yeah, nice horse for Mott. Yeah, I think there's some hope for the older fillies and mares next year that maybe we'll have some good ones around. People can laugh about the Comley, but Unbridled. Unbridled Forever, whichever Friar Unbridled, the one that won the Breeders' Cup last year.
Yes,
there's two of them. So it's hard to keep straight. She won the Comley as a 3-year-old at the end of her year. And it's funny, she beat that Shug horse. Starts with a C. She beat her, and they both looked like they were going to have big years, as 4-year-olds. And unfortunately, Shug's horse just never really got it together. I think she won her return. It might have been the Top Flight. In fact, it might have been, I feel like she won the Top Flight like days after Denny Phipps passed away.
I think you're right.
It was a race she came back, and I think it was a Top Flight. She just got up to beat a Pletcher horse, a speed. And then she just was kind of disappointing, and it was too bad because she could have also been really good. Sometimes they just don't move forward. She's certainly the right trainer to move forward. So she just never really turned the corner. But Forever Bridled obviously did for Dallas.
We got to honor a couple of performances from War Horses. Obviously, the Fall Highway did not come up. Didn't really come out a fast race. But
the sprinters the sprinters are usually a more fun group. The sprinters are a little bit dull.
It was cool though. The Life in Shambles. Life in Shambles has been around forever.
The higher end, you look at how weak the fields were behind Imperial Hint and the Saratoga and the Vanderbilt and the Bosberg. It just wasn't a really robust group. It was a fun race. I like Life in Shambles. Speaking of Irad, in a perfect trip, and he's a neat horse. The second, third horses ran their eyeballs out. It was nice to see that Ned Howard, that always sunshine, could sort of fallen apart a little bit in the last two races, including the Breeders' Cup. He was back on point, and he ran very, very well. And the second horse in there, what's his name?
Hartwood.
James Chapman, the trainer.
That
horse ran great. Those two ran great. I want to knock Life in Shambles. I know he won the race, and I'm certainly not bitter because I bet him. But boy, the second and third horses really ran well and ran hard in there. Hartwood's a nice horse. He's kept some good company this year.
Yeah, he has.
Where's Bruno Masmodella? Why isn't he coming for?
He went to the Midwest. You got to check with Quartarolo and with Ronnie. I'm sure they've got.
He runs horses that can't win in big races, and he's got a horse that could win in a big race. Where is he?
Ronnie, he's listening. So, Ronnie,
so he didn't want to run him?
Let us know, Ron.
I love Luke. He's my man. He's the greatest.
He's the greatest. Is absolutely.
He is. I'll tell you something. That guy to me. I know. Listen, I understand he annoys some people. He runs some ridiculous horses in some tough spots. But let me tell you something. The game could use one more of him.
I
or
say
a million
that all the
more
time.
Of him.
I say that
the man
all
who
the time.
Bets. He supports the game, and I'm forgetting about all that.
Here's the answer. I got the answer. I told you he was listening. Claiming Crown next week. Claiming Crown on Saturday.
Very wise.
Wow.
Wait, he made a wise decision? What happened? Actually, selling his No, but he's a great sport, and he's got a great sense of humor, and he, you know, listen, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's great. Does
absolutely
good for the game. You know, the game needs and thrives on characters, and he's a character, and a character in a positive way.
Yeah.
What could be better than that?
And a throwback. He's
I love seeing him in the track. I love, you know, he's got a good disposition. He doesn't take himself seriously, you know, and he's nobody's fool. Anybody thinks he's a fool is badly mistaken.
Well put, all the way around. Got a note. Happy for Eddie Barker, Yorkie Poo Princess.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, my old friend Yorkie Poo Princess. She ran great. You know, if you didn't like Sounds Delicious, who didn't really get that strongly and obviously ran poorly off the layoff, I don't know why Yorkie Poo Princess wasn't as logical as anybody in that race.
Yep.
You know.
Paid $14.
Yeah. Listen, Eddie does a very good job.
Yep. He does.
No Eddie doubt. Horses are live, they run. I like Eddie a lot.
How about Clement? 1-2. He's got a new face, white flag.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, I watched the race with him. You know, and at first, you know, obviously he's very happy to win. Disco Partner, when you have a horse like Disco Partner, he's the one you're always going to be sort of looking at the most. Obviously, you know, he has this long, strong relationship with Robert Evans, and I'm sure he's more than thrilled to win for him as well. As the Generosis. You've got owners like the Generosios and Robert Evans, and these are, you know, terrific people and integral parts of the game. You know, disappointed in Disco Partner. And I said to him, he agreed, Disco Partner had every chance to win that race. I mean, Joel got him into great position, and he got him in the clear, and the other horse just outran him. You know, maybe it wasn't the Disco Barner's best race, to be clear, but White Flag ran very well. He had a disappointing year this year. I mean, he didn't have a terrible year, but he had sort of underperformed the promise he shows a three-year-old, but that helps make the year.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he's only run five times, but he's got the two wins, and he just missed the Kentucky Downs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a nice horse, and that was a nice win for him. Happy for Christoph. I'm sorry he'll be leaving for the winter. I'm sorry all my friends will be leaving for the winter. Everybody thinks I'm just friends with Chad Brown. There's an awful lot of trainers that I like, you know, that see during the winter besides Chad Brown, and Christoph is one of them, Bill Mott. Bill's been around. I see Bill more at Aqueduct than anywhere. He's there all the time. It's funny. It's nice to see him, and I'm sure he's heading to Florida with everybody. Mark Hennig occasionally comes back and visits us. You know, but it's, you know, a lot of people leave. A lot of the riders that I like, you know, leave town. It's nice. Hopefully Kendrick will be back riding soon. I'd spoken to him. I texted with him a couple weeks ago, and he's getting better, and I think he's hoping to be back by February. I miss Kendrick. Good guy and a good rider. But the apprentices are okay. We got a couple of really promising apprentices. Joey Martinez comes back this week, who's riding so well before he was in that sort of odd freak accident, or the worst, I guess. And Gutierrez is riding terrific, Raylu. So,
and even though he's not an apprentice, I'm glad that Harry Hernandez is come down from Finger Lakes. I like him, and I think he's very competent.
Okay, well, I'll keep an eye on him.
He's okay.
Who's up next? Who's on next on the Steve Bick Show?
John White.
All right. Well, I don't want to take any more of John's time. We've only got 20 minutes left.
It's true. It's
been lovely chatting. Thanks for asking about Mom. I'll give her your best.
Please.
She's very happy to be home.
Well, and happy that you can go back downstate. And tomorrow, carry over. Pat Kelly told us that you're almost certainly off the turf tomorrow after another couple of inches of rain.
Hopefully we'll get...
Yeah.
Hopefully we're supposed to be clear of the rest, so hopefully we'll be on Thursday
weekend?
Or Friday through the
nice.
Weekend. But it's a big weekend, obviously, with Cigar Mile. And the Cigar's coming to a nice, fun race. Mendelsohn, a lot of good horses in there. And four stakes in the card. So looking forward to that. Always looking
Absolutely.
Forward to getting back to work.
We will recap it with Andy next Tuesday. Cigar Mile, Remsen, Demoiselle, and the, what am I missing? The three.
Oh, the Go for One.
Go for One.
Marley's Freedom's running, right?
Is she really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I don't think Bob will be showing up, but she's running.
No.
But Bob is welcome to come if he'd like.
Absolutely.
When was the last time he was in Aqueduct? When Congaree won the Wood?
Well, and that I've been wanting to get Bob. I tried him yesterday, but we ran out of time to come visit about the late Bob McNair. Stonerside.
A tremendous
run, boy. We'll talk about their program with Sid Fernando tomorrow on Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. That run by the McNairs, Stoner side was remarkable. 8 years of the game.
I love Congaree. Anyway, John White. We've got John on. Stop leaving him.
John is next.
You might yell at Casey. I don't want anybody to yell at Casey. See you later.
Andy Serling, everybody. Follow Andy on Twitter. And following Andy is John White, as we said. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a troubled man, changed by the things I
back at the races. What a fast morning this has been. Just rifled through 3 hours. We got 15 plus left, and John White will spend it with us. And John was listening in to Pat Cummings and the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation suggestion about moving from Category 2 to Category 1. John, first of all, hope you and Trace had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks. We certainly did, and certainly heard that you and Tina did as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and looking forward with every passing day to being there for Starlet and for the Futurity, and I think we're gonna miss Privman. He's finally gonna get that honeymoon in that was interrupted by a hurricane. So we can't include Jay, but we can certainly still have a dinner out on Los Al's big night. John, meanwhile, let's use your official capacity as a steward to react to the suggestion and how things could be different in the stand, and if this is an idea that really would improve, would ameliorate the issues that we sometimes confront.
Well, fortunately, I have already read the white paper and found it very well written, very interesting. There's a lot of merits to what Pat says. He is compelling and bringing up good arguments. One of the things that he said to you that rings so true, though, that I think just could never be forgotten. In fact, this came up with you in your discussion with Johnny D on Monday. And really, as Pat said, there is no entirely equitable system. And that's, you're just not going to get away from that. I mean, judgment is going to be involved even in this Category 1 system. You're dealing with judgment of the stewards. And I'll give an example of that. One of the things that Pat pointed out to you, and he did in the white paper, on page 9, he went into detail of how among the most notable jurisdictions to change in recent years to the Category 1 is Japan. And he said that they changed to that, as he said to you, in 2013. Well, it so happens I was there for a Japan Cup that, was, I thought, one of the worst calls I've ever seen in my life, when Gentle Donna, the outstanding filly, was making a move along the inside rail in the stretch, and there was a horse in the race by the name of Beat Black, who had opened up a huge lead, one of those like 8, 9, 10 length leads in the mile and a half length race, and he was running out of gas on the rail, and Gentle Donna ended up to where she was, making her move coming down the stretch, she was going to get stopped cold right behind that horse that was out of gas and going backwards fast. And the rider went to a left-hand whip to get out from behind that horse, and she veered out and smacked Orr Favre. In fact, if you follow hockey, it was a body check. And Orr Favre then came on and lost. It was such a close finish. It was almost a dead heat. And, I thought for sure that Gentle Donna would get disqualified, and she did not. And so, Japan has one of the worst calls that I've ever seen. But, anything that could be done to try to make it to where the public feels that they have a better idea of what the stewards are going to do, I certainly can't argue against that. And it does seem like this Category 1 officiating does make it to where the fans are more on page. You know, people advocate consistency. Well, the best way stewards can be consistent, believe me, and it would be, I would embrace it because I feel it would lead to safer racing, and that is to go back to what happened in New York for many, many years, and that is a foul is a foul. And, everybody knows that then. When you see a horse foul somebody, you know they're going to come down. The problem with that, and why I moved away from that myself, in terms of feeling what is best for the sport, is if you bet somebody like a Dr. Fager who makes a minor foul going into the clubhouse turn and then wins by a huge margin of whatever it was when in that famous disqualification during his career, you feel certainly robbed when you bet clearly the best horse in the race and for some little minor incident. I remember Jack Wilson talking with him. He was the chart caller for many years at the New York Tracks for the Racing Form, and he was telling me that any time a horse got hit in the head with a whip, it was an automatic disqualification. I mean, even if a horse got hit in the head with the whip at the half-mile pole, and then the other horse finished dead last, and the other horse won by 20 lengths. So in other words, what I'm saying is that you got to bring some judgment in here, I feel, in to make it better for the bettors. The bettors that are calling for more consistency and the trying to get away. They'll say the stewards are playing God. Well, to a certain extent, that's true, but like I say, the only alternative really is to go to a foul is a foul, and I think it would take only about a month of the foul is a foul system to where all those guys complaining now would complain even more once they were denied a pick six or a pick five or a trifecta or a super high five or whatever by some ticky-tack little foul at the half-mile pole or the three-eighths pole or something, and their horse wins by 8 lengths, and they get disqualified. So, you know, be careful what you wish for to some extent, I say. Another aspect of your discussion with Pat was, and I think there's certainly a lot of merit in this, and that's improving the communication to the public from what the stewards do. And to show you how the California Horse Racing Board has always been at the forefront of this, as I've said on your show previously, California was the first jurisdiction to show the stewards' views of what they were looking at during an inquiry. So they were the pioneer in that department. And something else right now that is up for discussion in California, there's a realization on the part of Chuck Winter, who is the chairman of the California Horse Racing Board, Rick Baedeker, who is the executive director of the California Racing Board, and Daryl McCarg, who is the chief steward in the state, and they recognize that there are many instances in which people are watching the races from California on televisions to where they don't have any sound. And so when there's a disqualification, while the track announcer is explaining it to the public at the track and to the ADW players who can listen to the audio on your phone or computer, if you're at one of the places that there is no sound, you have no explanation as to why there was a disqualification or why there wasn't a disqualification if there's an inquiry and or objection. And they're trying to look into possibly coming up with a way to graphically post in a succinct way of why there was or was not a disqualification. So, as I say, that's under discussion, and it shows you how, at least in California, there is an effort to try always to improve the communication in terms of these situations.
Well, I'm actually kind of gratified to hear that you have the same general feel that no matter what the parameters, while it may reduce the number of movement placements and DQs, you're still going to have the same basic scenarios. I mean, you're not going to alleviate the portion of this that includes people being, feeling like they didn't get the right, the right result. And, one of the odd responses always is, oh, well, they're cheating. Whoa. They're cheating who? Whether the call was perfect, whether the call was off and you feel like it could have gone the other way, they're still paying. The people are still, generally, except with this idiotic, rolling jackpot nonsense, people are still getting paid. I happen to have heard from some people who got put up with the nine horse on Friday. So the idea that, the players were cheated. Well, no. As many people, were rewarded the way with the outcome. It's not like they didn't pay the result that went official.
Well, and I did thoroughly. I don't follow Twitter extremely closely, but I did happen across a tweet from a person who wrote, "According to the internet, stewards are inept, clueless yutzes that don't know what they're doing, and simultaneously brilliant, conniving master thieves able to conjure up betting coups in the blink of an eye. I thought that was beautifully done, and of course that was your tweet, but I think you really hit the nail on the head with that one.
I wasn't, you know, I'm not trying to make light of anything here. I mean, it and certainly for, you know, for whoever was holding a ticket that deserved to get paid with the jackpot on Friday. I mean, that's a beat that is just excruciating and you know, would put a lot of people right off the, you know, off playing, period. As you and I, in fact, I know we discussed at the time that it happened, you know, it's not 300,000, but it was 25,000. Pick six at Del Mar and got taken, but that was a 50, got taken down, but that was felt like a 55-45 call, you know, either way, actually. I mean, I wouldn't even say 50-50. I mean, I had a feeling I was getting taken down. And so, I know the feeling to have that money taken out of your pocket, and significant money. So I respect, you know, everybody that feels like they, you know, had a nice windfall coming their way. Pick five players, pick four players, because obviously it was a tumultuous sequence. But the impugning of the officials, you know, veracity and integrity is just—it's just not appropriate. I mean, you want to say that this was not the proper call? Fine, that's true. That seems like that's the right way to look at it. But nobody was coming under the influence or doing it with the idea that it was going to help the racetrack down the road.
Well, it isn't with relish that I criticize fellow stewards' calls. Because having been in those shoes, believe me, but, you know, it's like about the last thing I want to do. But that said, and I say this because I already said it on your show right after it happened, but, you know, I remember one day, and I don't remember the date, but I remember the day that there were like two or three, but particularly two incidents at Saratoga that you just scratched your heads because...
Oh, yeah. Right.
This is where they talk about consistency, and the two were handled inconsistent fashion. I mean, they just were. I mean, so if they'd handled them the same, at least, again, people have a better idea.
Yeah.
You know, and this has led, you know, it is the New York officiating, particularly during Saratoga, that has kind of lit a fire on this subject. Del Mar tends to have its share of these, though, too. It seems like every summer we go down the road for some reason at Del Mar where they have quite a few controversial decisions. But this year it seemed like Saratoga was the leader in that regard. But and it's just very difficult. I mean, you do the best you can. And, you know, I think Johnny D said something that really, again, crystallizes this. It's very similar to what Pat Cummings said when he said there is no entirely equitable system. But Johnny D said people see things differently. And that's very, very true. I mean, you just do. I mean, everybody's not going to see everything the same. So you just have to realize that. And, you know, you just hope, as you've articulated, that, you know, you're going to have some of them go against you and you're going to have some of them go for you. And, I mean, if you play, if you're a horse player, a true horse player, meaning you play a lot of races, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have some go your way and some are not going to go your way.
Exactly. John, I appreciate it. And this was a fun 3 hours. We got a lot in. That was all right.
Well, I certainly enjoy listening to Pat Cummings because I'll tell you, he is very sharp, and I certainly would urge anyone to check out that white paper. It's a little, I mean, it's not the easiest read in the world. I mean, but it's very informative, and it tackles the subject in a very, very excellent manner. So, and I enjoyed reading it, you know, as I say, there's a lot of food for thought when you read this and come out of it, for sure.
Well, the link down my Twitter feed, I put it, takes it right to the page, and you can see the videos, and I'll put up the Racing Officials Accreditation Program survey as well. Take you to that, and you can make some, as they used to, what was the show? You Make the Call.
You Make the Call.
You Make the Call. John White, everybody. Post time, John. We'll send you out into this Tuesday race day. Back tomorrow for the Wednesday get-together, including Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale, and hoping to get John Secura in here this week. Haven't had a chance to catch up, John, with a terrific weekend. Two Hill & Dale products winning stakes, including Moonlit Promise, Woodbine. Want to thank Pat Kelly. Stop by to say thank you to everybody that came to the Rick Violette gathering yesterday. And I'll put up the links to Best and to Take Two if you want to donate in Rick's memory. And I'll put up some other giving concepts on this Giving Tuesday. Wayne Catalano, the Catman, always great. Delighted to have had Mark Reed join us, plus Andy Serling, Pat Cummings, Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, RacingThinkTank.com, and John White, Santa Anita. We'll take a 21-hour timeout. Talk to you tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. If you missed anything, SteveBick.com or replay here on Sirius XM. 6 to 9. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.